KDA-HNT, are you up? W8RRM.
KF8ENF.
Hello, just saying hi. Already sitting in my parking spot. W8RP.
Hey, Ron. Hi back. How you doing?
I'm okay for Wednesday. I got a couple more appointments. Just, you know, nothing to write home about, just routine junk. I'm actually in Sheboygan at the moment, but gotta run, got a busy week, stuff coming up tomorrow, got appointments on Friday, truck service appointments on Monday, just a bunch of stuff on my schedule, but if you're around, I'll catch you in a little bit. I'll be maybe half an hour or so here. See ya, W8RPM.
Yeah, I'll be around later. KF8DNF.
W8RPM, almost.
KF8DNF.
Hello again. Headed back at least towards home. I do have one more stop to make. Just a quick stop at Buddy's storage unit and take a measurement on a trailer to see if it will serve my purpose for the piece of yard equipment that I have to haul around. I have a feeling it might be too narrow, but rather than chance it, I'm actually going to go measure it. Nice day out here. Bright and sunny. And downstate trip and back over the weekend, also beautiful weather.
Yeah, it's been pretty exceptional since the monsoons quit. Kristen and I took a Sunday fun day color tour trip. Drove down to Gaylord and then up Old 27 up to Toponabe and then back across. And interesting, there was zero color in Gaylord. All the leaves were off the trees down there. And the further north and west we went, the nicer it got. Just a great day.
Yeah, on Saturday, coming back up 75, I noticed that from Gaylord North was pretty good, pretty turned. Almost all of the leaves in my yard are down, I'd say 75% or so. And again, I don't know when was the last time we talked, but, you know, we made that downstate, or, you know, west side of the state, southern trip down there between Ludington and Muskegon, there was way more color in the middle of the state down south of Cadillac and going back and forth across 55. I'm on 27 just outside of Sheboygan, and it's not remarkable here yet at all.
It is still lots of green out there in some spots, but yeah, probably about half my leaves are down now, and I've been going after them almost every day to try to stay on top of them, but I'm leaving tomorrow and going to be out of town for a while, and I'm sure there's going to be quite a carpet of leaves when I get back.
Yeah, I've been trying to stay on top of them. I was out with the tractor yesterday, just, you know, riding mower, just kind of blowing them into some semblance of a pile. And that way they don't have too detrimental effect on the lawn, you know, in case they end up sitting over winter, and I've had that happen a couple times where they just got away from me, and before you know it, you had snow, and then you're just done. So, but hopefully that doesn't happen this year. But I have a small yard tractor that needs to go in for service. I don't have a utility trailer, but my buddy's got one. The mower's got a 54-inch deck on it, and I'm just not sure that that his trailer's going to be wide enough, so I'm going to stop and see. now. That's my next. That's my last stop before I get back home. Hey, there was a post I saw in the North Country Trail thing. I don't know if you saw it or responded to it, but I thought of you. It was somebody asking about the mapping and about the, you know, real-time trail GPS on the fly sort of thing. Did you happen to see that or respond to it? It was just a couple days ago.
You're talking about the Facebook page. I'm not on Facebook or any other social media, so I did not see it. My wife does see those things on occasion, but she didn't mention it to me, so happy to help anybody that has a question on that stuff, though.
There were a number of replies, and some of the people were suggesting the Far Out app, so next time I'm sitting in front of the computer, I'll pay attention, but... Now, we kind of monitor that just in case somebody's looking for a trail angel for a ride or something. You know, we've done that a whole bunch of times and don't mind doing it. It's kind of enjoyable, actually, even if it's, you know, a little bit out of our way across the bridge or whatever, you know. It's worth it just so that people know that there's options for them when it comes to that kind of stuff. A lot of people like doing... You know, through hiking, even with a vehicle, you know, they'll just put it at one end and hike all day and need that 15 or, you know, 20-mile ride back. So we're both very much willing to do that stuff. So, but I'm trying to get the yard whipped into shape, and, you know, it's the inevitable is coming. It's probably less than a month away.
Well, really nice of you guys to do the Trail Angel stuff. As somebody who frequently hikes on other long trails, those rides and those people that show up randomly with coolers full of soda and donuts and stuff like that, boy, that is really nice. Puts a warm spot in the heart of a tired, hungry hiker. So good on you guys for doing that. Yeah, it's coming. I'm actually on my way out to Montana tomorrow to get like an early taste of it and hopefully bring back a freezer full of elk meat.
Well, that's awesome. Awesome for the experience. You know there's elk available a lot closer, but I know many people that have put in for those hunts and very few that have been drawn and even fewer that have been successful. Although... the early hunt that's already come and gone. I had a client downstate in the Saginaw area. Her boyfriend was a successful lottery winner, and he got a monster bull on the very first day. And I have a feeling, I've listened to some of those hunts and the DNR side of how they're managed, and I believe, and I mean... This sounds tongue-in-cheek, but it's not. It's a literal statement. I believe that the first elk that the guides are instructed to take are the ones that stray off the reservation. And I have enough firsthand experience with this. Ones that cross 75 and end up on the other side of the freeway outside of the actual confines of the pigeon. They're the first to go.
Well, I am a guest at a camp between Petoskey and Wolverine, and these guys have been hunting there for years and years and years. And they've told me stories about elk that have crossed I-75 and ended up in some of that state land and gotten onto their property. And what they do is they push out every other deer and other competing eater that's in the area. So that is a big problem when they do, you know, stray off the reservation, so to speak. That's happened, and that's been an issue in the past, so I understand.
I have friends that have about 40 acres right off of Shire and Straits. It's just on the south side of Shire and the east side of Straits. They've got a fairly extensive trail cam system back there. They also have a gravel pit range in the back. So they get elk on their trail cam all the time. I mean, it's common. And I know that the Even though that's, you know, you'll see the outcrossing signs on 75, and there have been a few of them hit, but they're not fond of them straying to the west. But this place you're going, is it just people you know with land? Is it an organized hunt? What's the story? And how bad was it to get a non-resident license in terms of headache and expense?
And we bought some preference points, and that guaranteed us tags. It's a combo hunt. It's elk and mule deer. We'll be going up into the mountains on horseback and staying at a high camp, and then getting on horseback and riding every day to glass for animals and find some that are suitable to shoot. My understanding is that those types of hunts where you get literally off the beaten track, beyond the reach of the typical hunters, you're pretty, I wouldn't say guaranteed, but you have a much better success rate. A lot of these valleys that these outfitters have been hunting for a lot of years that are, you know, 10 miles deep back in the mountains, accessible only by horse, tend to be very productive. So we're hoping for good things.
And are you driving out? Is that how you're able to haul stuff back?
We have a big diesel pickup truck. One guy is going to fly, and the other three of us are going to drive. We're taking a couple of chest freezers in the back of the truck with us with all of our gear inside those chest freezers. When we get out to Bozeman, we're going to rent a U-Haul trailer, and we'll be able to haul everything back in the freezers that we end up with from the hunt, plus all of our gear. So it's going to suck doing that 22 hours, but that's the way to go versus trying to fly out with all of your stuff and then trying to find somebody locally that'll do your processing and send it back to you. That gets quite expensive, I understand.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. All right, let me buy one here. I'm where I got to be. I just got to jump up and take one tape measurement, and I'm right back. W8RPM. All right, I'm back. W8RPM, more of a adventure than I expected.
KF8ENF. Yeah, it's the simple things that get you.
Well, you know, he handed me the remote for the you know, door opener. I get there and it doesn't work. So the first thing I did was, you know, trek my way through to the backside to make sure that there's power at the meter, and there was. And I don't have, you know, it's not like I got a voltmeter or anything with me, but luckily I had my own garage door opener, so I just swapped out the button cells, and that solved the problem, but it, you know, took me a minute.
Yeah, fun times. Hope that little project works out for you. Would suck to have to find another trailer somewhere.
Yeah, I probably have others I can borrow. I gotta go measure my load, but honestly, I don't think it's gonna work. Like I said, it's a 54-inch deck. I don't think it's going to be wide enough, but again, you know, I learned the hard way. Don't just assume, you know. Go and get the trailer, bring it home, it doesn't fit. Go measure it first, which I did, even though I probably don't like the results, but all right, and I'm good on all your itinerary stuff, the drive and the fly and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it sounds like fun. Is there snow there yet in those mountains?
Weather at the town nearest, which is down in the valley, is probably about the same as here, dipping down in the 30s at night, 50s during the day. We're going to be up at probably 5,500 feet, I think, or 7,500 feet, I think, is where our camp is, and we'll probably be going up higher than that every day to hunt. So, yeah, I'm expecting there to be snow up in the high country But what that typically does is it drives the animals down lower into the valleys, so I'm sure our guides are going to have that all figured out and take us to wherever we need to go to intercept the animals on their way up or the way down. So leaving it up to their capable hands for that stuff.
So my next question is, how do you get it out? Do they have a way to go in with, you know, a 4x4 or a sled or something? Or do you actually just quarter it up on site and haul it out on horseback?
And I think the way that that would work is, you know, out of the four of us who are the clients, if somebody is successful, we quarter it up and then pack it down. That individual probably packs it down with one of the guides back to where we started at the end of the road where the vehicle is parked with, you know, the horse trailers and all of that, and we stash it in one of the insulated trailers for that purpose. And then back up and continue hunting, I guess.
Yeah, it seems like this is probably a full-time gig for these guys, so you would think they'd have all that logistical stuff worked out.
Well, put it this way, it's not my problem. I'm going to be actively engaged in the solution, but I'm hoping that somebody else has the plan. Not hoping, I'm expecting someone else has that plan, and that's, you know, that's what you pay an outfitter for. So, I've made contact with the Amish folks up in Brutus about processing it for me. Should be good to go when we bring everything back here.
Good problem to have. I have had elk jerky. I have not had elk steak or stew or backstrap or anything prepared like you would from a deer. But I have to assume that, like any other wild game, that the result is all in the prep. You know, that if you know what you're doing, when you prep it and when you cook it, you're going to have a positive result. So I know plenty of hunters, guys that I consider friends, some that even do their own butchering. Yeah, no. I mean, that was, my dad did it for a living. I mean, he truly was a grocery store meat cutter by trade. And my brother picked that up, and he knew all that skill, and I know none of it, and I don't pretend to know any of it. I mean, you know, if SHTF and we're back to third world conditions, I'm not going to starve, but, you know, the chickens aren't going to survive and I'm going to starve to death. But as far as claiming that I can do a decent job of butchering my own large mammals, yeah, no. So I will take them and pay to have them prepared properly. But the point I was making, you know, I know several guys that are serious hunters that their end result, the burgers, the steaks, the sausage, yeah, you need to get rid of more of that grizzle and get rid of that gamey taste because there's no reason for it.
Considered to be the top of the tier on any deer type animal, a little bit more akin to beef than venison would be. I've had it a number of times, and it is, in my opinion, by far the best meat red meat you will ever taste, and I like it better than beef, so I'm really looking forward to having several hundred pounds of it around here. The way that we handle things at deer camp, and again, like I said, I'm a guest at a deer camp, a very good friends of mine, and they've been at it for years and years. We do all of our own processing there. So I'm on what's called the outside crew, and it's my job with a couple of other guys to skin the animals and quarter them out. And then we have an inside crew that cuts the debones everything and packs it up and makes it ready to go. And then from there, it's up to each individual person what they want to do with it. And typically what I do is I'll save the loins out of the deer and maybe a couple of the steaks to eat those. But everything else I'll take to a professional, like Mackinac Custom Meats, for instance, that we took it to last year up in Brutus, and have them make the, you know, the sausage out of it and things like that. So, yeah, that's up to each individual, but it can be a challenge to properly prepare venison so that it has a decent taste.
All right, sorry about that. We wait our TM, you know, when somebody's having a bad day at work and they call the vent, you let them.
KF8 ENF. Yeah, I hear you. Got to be there.
Even if you're just driving down the road, shaking your head, going, yep, I hear you. But anyway, there's a definite downside to kind of being the smartest person in the room, you know. Then you're the most easily frustrated. So, and I'm not talking about me.
Yeah, I hear you. Also being the most experienced in the room.
Yes. Yes. Been there, done that, but you kind of, sometimes you have to let people make their own mistakes, even if it's to their detriment. You just hope that it's not to your detriment, either emotionally or financially or, you know, for any other of those reasons. So, all right, I have safely made it back to my driveway. I'm trying to figure out, I was communicating with the owner of this trailer, and he tells me that he gets around the limitation of the width by putting planks over the tie downs. Now, I can see how you get the width back if you do that, but you would need planking. I'm not looking at the trailer anymore. I'm doing it from memory. I'm trying to figure out in my head. You would have to have enough planking to cover the entire surface area of the floor of the trailer. Then, how do you overcome the 4-inch lip that you have at the end when the fold-down gate is the ramp? Maybe I'm missing something.
Sounds like you may need to engage your friend in the solution to your problem.
Yeah, unfortunately, they're out of the country. And when they get back in the country, they're going to be at their summer residence out of the state. So, verbally, that's a possibility, but only verbally.
Well, maybe you're on your own. Or maybe he's talking about clamping down a plank on the outer side of each side of the trailer. Who knows?
I thought that for a minute myself, but this trailer has sides. It's not an enclosed trailer. It's a wire mesh trailer, so it's not like it's, you know, got a roof. But there's, you know, you still got the sides to deal with. And even if you put planks over those tie downs, let's say you found a 2x6. And cut it to length, and you put it over those tie-downs, now you've got to hope that the wheels for everything that you're carrying fit up on those planks, you know? We're talking about 9 inches, that it's a 54-inch wide trailer, and there's 4.5 inches on each side with the welded-on tie-downs. That 9 inches, boy, that takes up a lot of space, and it costs a lot of cargo capacity. You know, the difference between 45 inches and 54 inches. Just something I never really thought about in my head, and I've used this trailer many times, but I've never used it for anything that was, you know, that big. I mean, my old riding mower would fit on it easily. You know, any of the other kind of yard equipment that I have would fit on it easily. But the bigger tractor with the bigger deck, you know. I mean, suppose I could take the deck off, but it's all about trying to do things smarter, you know. Work hard, work smarter, not harder.
On it. So that might be the path of least resistance. And if you've got one of those drive-on and drive-off decks, well, there you go.
Well, and that's the beauty of this trailer, you know. That's why it's nice having it around, and I've utilized it a number of times for a number of different things. I just don't think it's going to work in this application. And, I don't know what my plan B is. I got to probably find somebody just with a flatbed, you know. Like, even an open snowmobile trailer that's just a deck, that probably would work, too, and I'm sure there's some laying around. I can solicit my neighbors here. I know a couple of them have them. All right, well, I'm losing my daylight here, so I got to tend to some outdoor stuff. When you leaving?
8:30 tomorrow morning, so I will be off the air for a couple of days, well, several days. Looking for me in about a week and a half.
All right, very good. Well, you're back before the holidays, then, well before Thanksgiving. Well, good luck. Be safe. That's all the ultimate thing. I mean, I hope you're successful, but I hope I think your experiences are going to make the trip worthwhile, whether you're successful or not, and that's just sort of a bonus. But at the end of the day, just be safe. We don't heal like we used to. And a fall off of a horse, on a mountain. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, have fun. And check in when you're back. 73W8RPM.
Take it easy, Ron. Good catching up with you today. KF8 ENF.
ADH.
KD8HNT, W8RRM looking. WRRM will be listening. KD8HNT, W8RRM. KD8HNT, W8RRM looking.